Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123, the podcast. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Pickup, Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well tonight. We're going to be doing an open chat this evening, so if you want to call in, 515-605-9802. Go right ahead.
Yes, and we're only one election away from closed borders, fascism, totalitarianism, bankruptcy, elimination of women's reproductive rights, concentration camps, and genocide. The Republican Party is a new face of fascism in the 21st century world. What can we do to stop it? Register to vote. That's the only way we can stop Republicans and Donald Trump from turning everything upside down, inside out, and everything that's supposed to go up goes down, and everything that's supposed to go down go up. So we're glad you're here today, and as Laura said, open mic night. And one thing that we're working on is, you know, by next week or week after next, we're talking about the speed data thing. Because like Jeffrey Epstein and like Harvey Weinstein, there's this dark underbelly in Hollywood where young artists, young professionals, young actors, writers, whoever, they're coming to the business looking, you know, to make a name for themselves. But these perverts, you know, like ruinalizing the reputations. You know, so it appears that Sean P. Diddy Combs is willing to take Jay-Z, Sean Carter down with him. The rapper Jay-Z was having an affair with a woman named Kathy White, allegedly, who was said to be pregnant with Jay-Z's child upon her death back in 2010. So this information coming from an anonymous retired medical assistant, Kathy Swarmer, OBGYN, who's said to be ready to take talk to either authorities or the media, which was around the time Beyonce was pregnant with Blue Ivy Carter. White was already was ready to come forward with her relationship or affair with Jay-Z prior to the VMA announcement of Beyonce's being pregnant. Of course, this appears to have made a lot of people in PR nervous, and Jay-Z works with you know, very hard to keep his image clean. So Kathy White was reported to have died from a brain aneurysm. Claudia Jordan, her best friend, is also dead. It appears Jay-Z was involved with this incident as well, allegedly. Some may brush this off as a typical no-substance rumor until you realize that Kanye West said years ago, while on stage on the St. Pablo tour regarding Jay-Z and his potential, quote, killers for hire. So as you can see, you know, Kanye West is very familiar with how Sean Jay-Z Carter likes to handle people who talk a little too much for his comfort. Jay-Z is also said to be behind the passing of rapper Big L, another New York native who was on the rise to stardom. But I digress. There's also another story for the reason singer Aaliyah was taken out. People know in the music industry that Jay-Z became jealous of Damon Dash and Aaliyah's relationship. So, you know, we're working on this, and within a couple of weeks' time, we'll have a show exclusively on this. The whole P. Diddy saga, you know, Jay-Z involvement, and, of course, you know, that guy who was given 30 years in prison, R. Kelly. You know, he's very notorious and disgusting. And pity got only 30 years for what he did, you know. So what for protect, you know, young women and young artists and young actors and young producers when they're going to the Hollywood business, because of dirty industry. And, you know, lives are being ruined because of these, you know, dirty old men, basically. So, but tonight is open night, and I think that Joe Biden is using his cash advantage to address his vulnerabilities against Trump. But first, Lori has something to read. And go ahead, Lori.
Okay. Hi, everyone. This is a long paragraph that a friend of mine from Illinois, his name is Mark, has sent to me to read this evening. And so I'm going to read it. And it's just a commentary that he wrote. We may not like either of the choices we have on the ballot. There is one choice that is not printed on it, democracy. The choice is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Cliche, but think carefully. We have prepared our enlisted sons, daughters, women, men, husbands, and wives for fighting a war. How many of them are we willing to sacrifice their lives for us? We are at a critical point in our choice in our presidential and congressional elections. For us, the choice is simpler. Do we wish to support our armed forces? Do we want to restore the draft so those you have too close to you sent in harm's way? How many tears do we as a nation want to shed? Our unfathomable choice is to do we want an internal revolution that tears apart our nation, our freedom, our democracy, and everything we work so hard for. For me, the choice is simpler than politics. I don't like either of our choices for president. I don't like a lot of members of our Congress. I do not want to send our sons, daughters, men, women, husbands, and wives to war. I don't want their blood on my hands. I do not want a generation of our people gone. However, there is a choice on the ballot, not printed in ink. It is a choice for democracy. In fact, it is not really a choice at all. We can choose to change who our president is every 4 years, but we can choose who we want as our congressional representatives. We say no, our democracy will not get trampled on. No, it will not be torn up. And no, it will not be ignored. No, we should not have to submit to this foolishness. We can say no to the absolute protection under the law or implied. No one, regardless of position, is above the law. Our laws have to apply to everyone. Yes, our laws are not perfect. They continue to be injustices. We can work on fixing it. We can vote to change the chaos between those who represent us. Currently, the political parties fighting and infighting are not working for the people who they swore to serve. The business of the people is not being done. With our votes, we can change that. We can say no. We will not have representatives that do not seek to find common ground or defy common sense. Our nation's representation of the gold standard of a successful nation is badly tarnished. Do we really want to give one person the power to decide what changes we make? Think China, Russia, Iran, and South Korea. Who are we waiting for? Our self-destruction? Our hard work would be for naught. We can't fight against ourselves if it leads to such a cost. They would love to take the spoils of our internal war. Our borders are broken, but we can fix that. Our economy is not serving all, but we can fix that. Crime must not continue to be the norm, but we can fix that. There are many things that our nation needs attention, and we can fix that. However, we cannot allow a person vowing to punish people to become our president. We cannot allow a person who seeks revenge to become our president. We cannot allow the one promising to create 4 more years of political infighting. We cannot allow a person to be president who talks more of what they claim will be persecution, retribution, weaponization of the government, when that is their political plan and more. Do we want more of the political infighting that we have stalled? It is not our desire to have our country default on our debts. Yet there are some who want to hold the people hostage for their political agendas. They want to do this in spite of the damage and the hardship this would cause to us. We may not like the choices we have for president. We can vote for democracy. We can vote to stop the nonsense in Washington. We can vote for Joe Biden. He may bridge the path representatives that do the work of the people. We can support change by supporting congressional representatives who give him the people's power to bring our nation out of the dysfunctional mess that we have today. We, the people, can use our vote to drive change without allowing someone whose political plan vows retribution, retaliation, lawsuits, and jailing political rivals. Do we want a government like Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea? Do we want a president who places family and relatives in powerful positions, nepotism? Do we want to cozy up to governments that have a strong history of human rights violations? We can say no with our vote. A vote for Joe Biden can hold the line. We can move that line with our votes in the future. But we all must vote. It must be a vote for democracy, the unprinted choice on the ballot. A vote for Joe Biden is a vote for democracy. Thank you, Mark. That was beautiful. And I agree with every word you said. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Indeed. So the number to call in if you want to talk or just listen, 515-605-9802. Say first name where you're calling in from. Please turn off all background noises as it distracts me, Lori, and people who are listening. So Tawny Wilson, she is in Jackson, Alabama. And I'm reading this thing that she posted on Facebook, and it was by Stephen King, the author. One difference between mm-hmm. Nixon and Trump, when the Republicans nominated Nixon, they didn't actually know he was a crook. And, you know, true, but the new Donald Trump, who he was, a liar, a manipulator, people, you know, a person who don't pay his bills, you know, he was just a scumbag, but yet they nominated mm-hmm. him in 2016, you know. And, mm-hmm. You know, he's a person who, you know, Trump is one of the least masculine people, least adult person in public. He's needy, he's whiny, he's defensive, he's pleading, he's scared of women, he's terrified of more powerful men. So it's a loss, really, as to why mm-hmm. his base sees him as a manly or strong person, you know? And if somebody could call and explain why they support Donald Trump, we're all ears. And don't tell me that, oh, he did good, he's a good businessman, and he did well in his 4 years, because, you know, he didn't handle COVID well. Many people died. He kind of went crap. He treated women like, you know, below dirt. You know, he just disrespected and humiliated journalists who was at the White House, asking them relevant questions, as, you know, pertaining to the job as president. You know, so I don't know about you, but I just can't imagine much of anything being more blasphemous than selling autographed Bibles. That's the latest shtick he's doing. It is troublesome. And, you know, I find it disgraceful that evangelicals who call themselves Christians will really support this man who's desperate, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to see that, you know, his stocks went down for Truth mm-hmm. Social. And mm-hmm. you know, hopefully he'll go down even more. And I don't know if he got to pay the $175 million that was judge ordered. But, you know, if it were anybody else, then they'll be awaiting trial in jail. Why is Donald Trump getting such special treatment? You know, mm-hmm. call us. Tell us what's going on. We'll have a first mm-hmm. caller here from the 217 error code. We'll put them through first. But, you know, where do you want to straddle first, Lori?
You know, yesterday we were comparing Trump to Trump's policies, whatever, if you want to call them policies, in comparison to what President Biden has planned for the country when he wins mm-hmm. in 2024. So I wanted to start on Trump saying immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I find that to be appalling to say that out loud, much less think about it.
Mm-hmm.
you know, he went on to criticize the immigrants all over the world, including Asia and Africa. You know, through social over the weekend, actually it was not the weekend, it was Easter Sunday. He was on Truth Social, instead of going to church, by the way, you know, because he is a Christian, and he does go to church every single Sunday. But for Easter, no, he skipped Easter, right? And he spent the day on Truth Social just attacking everybody that he could think of. Over 77 posts, 77 times, all in capital letters, everybody that you can think of, he was complaining about, and how, you know, how everyone is against him, and everything is, you know, everyone's out to get him, and he's innocent, and all this other crap. We don't care. We don't want to hear about his crap, because he did his crap. And once the first trial starts on April the 15th, and by the way, his lawyers today did go into the ask if that case could be postponed a little while, because you know, a poor Trumpy is already going to be judged, you know, as maybe guilty, because everyone's been talking about this case. Well, you know who's been talking about this case the most? Him, Trump. Mm-hmm. He's been talking about
exactly.
It. He's talking all the garbage, all the hoopla, all the trouble, all the complaining, all the Truth Social posts that he makes. Look those up. You can see the whole case right on there. So you know what? Too bad. The judge is not going to move. It's April 15th, and that is going to be very exciting. I don't know if it's going to be on TV. I highly doubt it, but boy, would that be fun if it was.
Yes, it would be. Yes, it would be. Yes, ma'am. So we'll have our first caller from Metro East of Illinois. I don't know if it's Champaign or Springfield or Decatur, Illinois, or Lincoln, Illinois, but we'll get them through. Remember to say first name where you're calling in from, and this is Open Mic Night. Any topic is up for discussion. Hello, Illinois, and welcome to the show. What's cooking? Hello, you're live on air. This is Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking, Carla? Hi. Yes, don't be shy. Yes, ma'am. We're talking about politics and the latest and what's going on in America regarding politics. So do you have anything to say about, you know, Trump or the presidential campaign coming up against Joe Biden? I guess the person who has to listen.
So, anyway, yeah, we're going to talk about, and I'll send it to you, about Trump saying the immigrants have poisoned the blood of America, of our country, I should say, which I find appalling. And he said this back a while back, and he went on to say that immigrants coming to the U.S. are poisoning the blood of our country. That drew, of course, you know, a lot of.
Could you pull the zipper out of here? It's stuck in there.
Hello?
Hello, Illinois. Welcome to the show. Do you have something to say? Okay, I guess not. I'd rather listen. Okay, I'm going to put the call on hold because, you know, the person not saying anything. But we'll thank you for calling in. So you're on hold right now. We'll come back to you in a couple of minutes. Yeah, go ahead with it, Lori. Yeah, Trump said these things about the immigrants being poison to the blood of the country. Hello? I don't know what happened. Laura got cut off. Okay, so Block Talk Radio tripping again. Jesus. So back to that thing that Laura was saying, that Donald Trump on the campaign trail, he called immigrants poisoning the blood of our country, and the Biden campaign line comments to Hitler, which, you know, is absolutely right. Donald Trump, you know, a remark on last Saturday or a couple of Saturdays back that quickly drew rebuke from his chief Democratic rival, Joe Biden, campaign likened to the words of those of Adolf Hitler, you know. And Trump told a crowd rally in New Hampshire, this is what he said, and I quote, "They let, I think the real number is 15, 16 million people in our country. When they do that, we got a lot of work to do. They are poisoning the blood of our country. That's why they've done, that's what they've done. They poison mental institutions and prisons all over the world, not just in South America, not just to three or four countries that we think about, but all over the world. They're coming into our country from Africa, from Asia, and all over the world." So, of course, Donald Trump just, you know, the word soup, that makes no sense and everything. And if he really hates immigrants like this, isn't his parents, aren't his parents immigrants? His mother was from Scotland, and his the Trump side of the family is from Germany. And I got kicked out of Germany because of the whole shenanigans of stealing from people and not paying people, you know. So he's the one to talk about, you know, poisoning the blood of the United States. You know, his wives, you know, his current wife is from another country. She's an immigrant. Is she poisoning the blood of a country? You know, it's just disgraceful and deplorable that Donald Trump would say something like that. Lori, are you back with us? I don't know what the hell happened.
Yeah, I don't know. I got cut off. It's okay. I'm back. It's okay.
Yes, ma'am. So illegal immigration is poisoning the blood of our nation. They're coming from prisons and mental institutions from all over the world. That's what Trump said in New Hampshire, I was telling the people who are listening. And, you know, his wives, his first wife and his current wife, are immigrants.
Yep.
You know? So
yeah.
What is he saying, that they're poisoning the country, the blood of the country? Or they're white, so, you know, they're okay. But, you know, if you're non-white and you're an immigrant coming into America, then, you know, you're just poison.
Yep.
And call them shithole countries and everything.
Yep.
If anything, Donald Trump is a shithole. Please.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. It's you know, when Hillary said deplorable, she was right. But I think we need stronger words, but, you know, can't really. On air, it's so.
Oh yeah, I can. Trump is an asshole, and you know, I wish I could say what I want to happen to him.
Well,
but you know, other people, men in black, come knocking on the door. You know, because he says a lot of things about Joe Biden and having him, bone in the back of a car. You know, it's just never before in our presidential election history that has ever happened.
Yeah, you know, for me, when I saw that video, I was appalled. I just cannot believe that this man thinks that he can run a country. His ego is so deflated, and he is so bitter in his life, and he has so much hatred in his heart that he has the guts to post something like that. And Joe
Not
Biden
the nerve. He has the nerve to post something
good
like
man.
That.
Huh?
He has a nerve, what? Not a gut. You know, not a gut. Wrong adjective to describe it. Nerve.
Well, to me, that takes guts and nerves. And I don't mean guts in a good way, trust me. I mean it in a way that's disgusting, because Joe Biden is the president of our country. He's the president of the most powerful country in the world. And this is what he does. And he thinks that people are going to vote for him? Really? People that that can think and have brains, they're going to vote for somebody like that? Why would anyone want to be represented by him? I don't want to be represented by him at all as my president.
The term blood poisoning was used by Hitler in his manifesto Mein Kampf, in which he criticized immigration and the mixing of races. And I quote, Hitler wrote, "All great cultures of the past perished only because the originally created race died out from blood poisoning. So, You know, Donald Trump is channeling his role models as he pirated Hitler. He praised people like Kim Jong-un from North Korea and quote Vladimir Putin while running for president on a promise to rule as a dictator and threatening, you know, American democracy. Trump is not shying away from his plan to lock up millions of people in detention camps, and he continues to lie about the time, that time when Joe Biden obliterated him by over 7 million votes 3 years ago. You know, so he's still in denial, or he's trying to capitalize on the stupidity and the gullibility of his supporters who believe anything and everything he says. Because Chris Christie, the former governor of New Jersey, he was one of Trump's rivals for the Republican presidential nomination in 2024, called Trump's remarks disgusting. And, you know, according to Christie, he's disgusting. And what he's doing is dog whistle to Americans who feel absolutely under stress and strain from the economy and from the conflicts around the world. And he's dog whistling to blame it on people from areas that don't look like us. That's what Chris Christie said. And the other problem with this is that Republicans who are saying this is okay. So if you nominate this jerk, this orange bastard, you know, what you're saying to the country, you know, pretty soon we'll be a minority-majority country. What will you do next, you know? Hopefully people like Trump and people who think like Trump will die out and a new generation will have a different thinking. You know, I mean, racism that way would die overnight. You know, and sexism and homophobia and things like that. But, you know, it needs to end. This is the 21st century, and Donald Trump talking like Hitler and Stalin and all those people, disgraceful.
It's beyond disgraceful. I've never in my life ever thought that we would be at a point in our country where we had to deal with this piece of slimy garbage that doesn't care about anyone except himself and is just so disgusting, you know, and we have to put up with him since 2015. I mean, enough. And, you know, and today they were talking about they're going to, I think they added another gag order. I wasn't able to find it online yet for the April 15th case because he again threatened the daughter, and they are going to add another gag order. Big deal. And that's what they were saying today. And I agree. Big deal. None of these judges have had the guts to put him in jail. Put him in jail. Shut his mouth for a while. Put the tape on his mouth. Do something.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
Are all sick of it. You know, why are they afraid of him? I mean, yes, they are threatening him, absolutely. The Secretary of State in Arizona, and I can't think of her name right now, she has had hundreds and hundreds of death threats, because, you know, she, remember Arizona, they didn't want, because of the 14th Amendment, remember that? And they didn't want him on the ballot. And the death threats do not stop. She has to have security for herself and for her family. This is not America. This is not what America is about. I mean, we have never had this sort of insanity since Trump. This is only from him. This is not that he has done it all, but he has opened the doors to the insanity, and they've all come running out. Remember that song, Who Let the Dogs Out? Does anyone remember that? That's exactly what happened.
Yes, on the line we'll have Susan, and we'll have Elaine from Michigan. Hello, ladies. Welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Good, how are
you? I got
a
good news for you. I just saw this on Rachel's show. There's an organization of artists plastering signs all over the towns. Enough noise and lies. The thing is enoughoftrump.org. That's who's sponsoring it. It says enough, and it had like a big thing, noise and lies. And they're going around plastering mailboxes on buildings, you name it. They got big signs up. And it's the artists are campaigning to get rid of Trump. Good, I thought that was really cool.
That is really cool. Absolutely.
The artist is the same artist that did that wonderful drawing, a modernistic-looking drawing of President Obama. And I know everybody remembers that poster. Yeah, he has got a unique style. One, I was looking at those posters when they were flashing them, and there, all you have to do is drive. You could be driving 60 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour. They're easy to read.
Yeah.
They sort of flash at you. He is good.
Yeah,
I mean, this artist is
real
good.
Other artists are doing those banners and stick on it, like, you know, the wallpaper that sticks on. They're putting them everywhere. And I said, great, paper the whole country that way. Get rid of them.
Every there is a light at the end of the tunnel, right, Susan?
Yeah, I hope so. This has got to end. I'm so sick of all this crap. I mean, the more you hear, you know, it's just constant. And, yeah, it should hit the fan on the he can't talk anymore, you know. It's, the other judges are telling the judge that's in, you know, his daughter's being abused now, that they're going to put a muzzle on him.
Yeah.
They need to put him in prison. I want to see him go in for 60 days. That's what he deserves.
I'm not going to believe it until I see it.
Yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
I know, me too.
Exactly.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
There was something else that was brought out. It's been brought out a couple times today. China has got quite a sophisticated propaganda program that they're doing on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And how they got caught
they
is they...
They said they're not even changing, that even, you know, they're bombarding our internet, you know, our media. And they said that they don't even take off the Chinese words, you know. And same with Russia. They're already in there mixing it up. And a lot of the, you know, like Facebook and stuff, they're not stopping it anymore.
Wow.
And it's really bad.
I get warned for putting a post, for reposting how a synthetic meat is made. I got warned for that because they said it wasn't real. The post wasn't real. And they're permitting this kind of crap.
Yep.
I know.
They've been doing
We've got to keep trying. We've got to keep putting the truth out there. Just we've got to keep bombarding them with the truth. And you'll notice that on social media, you know those little things that you get from other people, their kids and stuff? Did you notice that it's being geared more towards China, Vietnam, Russia?
Not really. Wow. Yeah.
I noticed that since last week. It's really, you hardly see anything that's, you don't see any little kids from the USA. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. The kids are adorable. But the idea is they're slowly indoctrinating us in another part of the media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, they've already full steam ahead bombarding everything to promote Trump and against Biden, and it's all over the place, they said, all over the media.
It's okay. Good versus and good will win. The number to call is 515-605-9802. We have a call from Louisiana. Hello, and welcome to the show. What's cooking? And who are we speaking to?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
My name is Mike, and,
hi, Mike.
You know, one thing I want to start off by saying, you're misleading people when you talk about he said that it poisons the blood. What he's talking about there is... He's talking about all these people that are coming in through our border, right, through this invasion that's happening at our southern border. We don't know what diseases they have. By and large, there are a lot of diseases that through our medical technology, we have basically eliminated things like polio, smallpox, things of that nature, right? we've basically eliminated those things in our country, correct? You know? Yeah. So what he's talking about is all these people that are coming in through the border have these diseases that we have largely eliminated. And they haven't taken any, they haven't been given any vaccines or whatever to get rid of the diseases. And so that's what he's talking about there. And again, you guys talking about, you guys on that side of the aisle were the ones that wanted us to take a largely unproven and dangerous vaccine for COVID. All right.
Can I interrupt this for a minute?
Wait a minute. Stop right there. First, we're going to we're not going to go on to that for a moment. Now, he is running for president of the United States, right? And do I think he deserves to be even anywhere near the podium to talk, to be a president? No. Hell no, I'm going to say. Now, when he talks about immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country, that is not how you talk about people, first of all. That is rude. It's inconsiderate. And you can say whatever you want to say that he was saying, then he should have said that because he didn't say it. And I know that he is definitely a racist man. He's pointed that out many times. And you know that he has said many things about racism. And when he was in Haiti that time, when they had that terrible hurricane, he took paper towels and he threw them at them. So what kind of a human being is he? Now, I understand what you're saying about coming into our country and maybe having a disease. I get that part. I get that. Right? I understand that part. But I do not want to hear any defense for a man that says, that talks the way he talks. Because all he's trying to do is rally up his base. That's all he's doing. And he doesn't tell the truth when he talks.
And he directly quoted Hitler. That was a direct Hitler quote, you know?
Yes.
So how can anybody take it out of context?
Yeah.
Larry,
exactly.
And guys.
David,
can I add something to this
before he speaks again? How come the red-haired people do not want to get their children that are already in this country vaccinated?
Yeah.
So which side of your mouth are you talking out of, sir?
Yeah. You know,
we're talking about people already living in this country who claim that the vaccines and that Dr. Fauci was poisoning the people.
Yeah.
So you explain one to us, please.
I'm also one that actually did take the vaccine.
I did take the vaccine,
but that's my second point is this. All this crap, all this lawfare shit, all right, they're bringing up against Trump, Fannie Willis, and all these trials in New York, and all it is election interference, number one.
No, what?
Number two.
He didn't answer my question, sir. How about the already American children who will not take the vaccine? They are part of your red hat crowd.
They're against taking the polio vaccine, the measles vaccine. In Chicago,
there was an outbreak of measles, and it didn't come from immigrants. It came from children already living here. Now, you answer that question first before you go on to something else, sir.
Okay, wait.
I've taken all my vaccine shots, and most of the people that are on my side of the aisle have taken it. It's the people that believe people like RFK Jr. that are noted anti-vaxxers.
Of course.
You know?
And he wants to be president on top of it all. Now, the thing is that Elaine has a point.
I'm not one to say it, but I wouldn't vote for RFK Jr.
Are you kidding me? No.
No, he doesn't have to vote.
He's too far out there for me. You know?
Yeah, no. No. I would never vote for him. He's just going because of his name. His own sister was just interviewed today. And she doesn't want him. The family does not want him running. They think he's a conspiracy theorist, and he is. So,
right.
What else can
you
say about that? Now, Elaine,
that's the thing with him. He's just too far out there for me. You know, he's just too far out there for me. But
he's far out there, right? But isn't Trump far out as well?
Hello?
Mike?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello? He said RFK Jr. is far out. Isn't Trump far out as well? He's anti-vax.
You know,
he's anti-immigrant.
He wants to make America great again.
Wait a minute.
And the next
hit
the court.
Have you?
Yeah, go ahead, Laura.
Have you? Yeah. What was wrong? What is wrong with America right now? Tell me, why is America not great? Our economy is doing well. People have jobs. Wages are going up.
Have
I don't know where you live.
Have you
been to the store yet? What?
Okay, you're going to talk about inflation. Yeah, let's talk about that for a moment. Let's talk about that. I love talking about inflation. It's my favorite. It's my favorite subject because, I'm upset, just like you're upset, with the prices. But you know what? The President of the United States did not tell the corporations what they can charge for a loaf of bread. Do you know that? And why are these people spending money to give to Trump when they're complaining about buying orange juice and milk and bread and how high the prices are? But they will pay $90, or how much were those tennis shoes? $500? I don't know. They will spend that to buy a pair of gold tennis shoes.
Okay.
And these are the same people that are complaining about the price of bread and milk. Do you get that?
Well,
and
how much?
The thing is that, wait a minute, I'm not finished. The thing is that the corporations charge what they want. When we had COVID and everything stopped, our shelves were empty. They had to restore all of that, right? Remember that? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
People have forgotten all of that. So now they figured, oh, wow, we can make some money now. And that's exactly what they've been doing. They've been overcharging us since COVID. President Biden has said to them to please do not overcharge, but they still do. It's called
inflation. Then again, you've got the Federal Reserve Bank that's raising, that keeps raising interest rates.
Are you a friend of
those? Okay, Mike, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate the call and everything. 515-605-9802, the number to call. And we'll have Doris on the line from Michigan. Hello, Doris. Welcome to the show. What's cooking? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
This is me, Jenna. I'm just listening.
Oh,
okay,
Bethany.
Okay.
Bethany. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. You going in the bedroom?
Yeah. Hey, welcome to the show, 217 Air Accord. What's cooking?
Nothing.
Hello, Carla. 217.
Is everyone being shy this evening?
This is Illinois again.
Okay.
Yeah, so Mike is very misinformed because who's more paranoid and conspiracy theorist and weird as Donald Trump? You know, he makes Robert Kennedy Jr. look, you know, like a kid, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we lost Susie on the line and everything. I guess I couldn't stand what Mike was saying. I can't really blame her because these people are conspiracy theorists.
You know,
and Michael saying from Louisiana that, you know, Trump wants to make America great again. Hitler said that in the 1930s about Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Everything this guy says is based off Mein Kampf and what Hitler did and trying to do. Mm-hmm. you know, and we need to stop it. We need to, like, have critical thinking in this country. When Trump was in there for the first 4 years of his administration, he just turned everything upside down. Everything Obama did, you know, he rolled back. And you see what happened in Palestine, Ohio, where the train derailed and there was an explosion and the water is now contaminated, the air is polluted, people are getting cancer. And the company that was in charge of, or responsible for that explosion, going from door to door, making people sign a document saying that they can't sue in the future, you know? And then these people still vote Republican and support Trump, and they're blaming Biden and they're blaming Obama. What the hell? What else do you need people to see to show that Trump doesn't care? By God, Republicans don't care. They just want you vote, and when they go in there, we see the chaos and absolute garbage going on now in terms of these hearings about trying to impeach Joe Biden. Instead of, like, you know, making actual laws and moving America forward and trying to fight inflation and trying to, like, you know, put Wall Street under some manners, because Wall Street tend to, like, go overboard. Instead of talking about tax cuts for the wealthy and the corporations, they had $7 trillion in tax cuts in Trump one term. You know, how much more tax cut you need, you know? Instead of putting more money in public schools, they want to push charter schools. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know what gets me, David, is that they all have the same argument. They talk about inflation. Like the president has any power. He has asked the corporations not to raise prices. He's asked them. But they're not going to listen to him. They're in there to make money, to make their stockholders happy. They don't care about how much they charge for a loaf of bread. They don't care. As long as people buy it, they won't care. And so the only way to stop it is to not buy that loaf of bread. I guess, what else do you do? Because they're not going to listen to us. But what they don't understand is the president cannot tell these corporations they cannot price gouge us. It's the same with gasoline. It's the same with everything. This is what a free economy is about, right?
Added to which, the inflation thing is a worldwide thing. You know, Joe Biden has no control over it. It's not his fault why inflation is there. You know, it's because of COVID, and we're trying to recover from COVID and everything. So, you know, these right-wingers who support Trump, and Christians in court, you know, they need to stop the garbage and stop the misinformation, because misinformation is dangerous, you know?
Yeah.
And Marjorie Taylor Greene, speaking of dangerous, Marjorie Taylor Greene the other day, there's a vote up to censor her, and the congresswoman from, where was it? Some congresswoman from the East Coast put up this resolution to censor her. And I doubt that, you know, she was censored because of this Republican Congress, you know, majority. You know, she probably got a reprimand, that's it. But these people have no integrity. Exactly. And how do you shame somebody who has no shame, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, how
and in terms of inflation, and in terms of inflation, we're one of the lowest in the world when it comes to inflation. You want to see inflation?
Yeah.
Go to Zimbabwe. Go to Haiti. You know, get to the skilled way for developing countries. You know, go to the Middle East. You know, you see how inflation hit hard.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand when they say that he's going to make America great again.
Exactly.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
That means you go back to Jim Crow, you go before the Civil Rights Movement, and you're going to go back to the bad times. That's because they don't say that. But when you go back, that's what you go back to.
Yeah.
Those are buzzwords.
Do they understand that, though? That's what I would like to know.
Those are buzzwords.
What they're going to go back to, unless
They want women barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen, which not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not going to happen.
The other thing they don't understand is Republican House and Senate after Republican House and Senate have deregulated businesses to the point where they have become monopolies. There is getting less and less competition. And when you have monopolies, you have no competition. You have nobody lowering the prices. All you have is everybody raising the prices.
Absolutely.
They don't even understand what's going on.
No, they don't. They don't. That's the sad part. And that's the sad part because if they would just stop and think, you know, I mean, just stop and think for a minute. History tells you what's going on. All you have to do is go back in history. That is it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
They've got a millionaire that just gave Trump $1 million towards his campaign or legal expenses, whatever he needs. And the reason for it is he knows he'll be taken care of. Trump gets back in. He knows he'll be taken care of with low or no taxes.
Absolutely. He makes promises to all these
And that
people.
that was just on TV a few minutes ago.
Yeah. He makes promises to all these people. Oh, don't worry. You know, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Absolutely. You know? But, you know, when we talk about the economy for a minute, there's something that I looked up. Did you know that after the Depression, it took people 11 years to feel how much better the economy was doing? In other words, the things that President Biden has put in effect, you know, to help our economy, for the green energy, for the CHIPS Act, for all of this stuff that's going on, all these things that he's put forth in the almost four years that he's been here, we're not feeling the effects. But after the Depression, it took 11 years for the people to understand and feel the effects of that, of the economy coming back. Remember, you know, all of that when the economy came back and was strong. And this is what what's happening right now. You know, this is what's happening right now. You know, people are not feeling the effects of what President Biden has put into place. So because they don't feel it, they don't think it's happening. But it is happening, slowly, but it is happening. And you just have to go back into history and look at history, and then you'll learn a lot. You will learn that things take time. Everything takes time.
Then how do you explain these people that are going to spend $840 a night for a hotel room in the next few days to see the eclipse?
Yeah.
How do you explain the air passage? They were giving the airline tickets. They were running between $300 and $900 a person to go and travel to see the eclipse. The economy's so bad, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was saying that it's Super Bowl time. It's Super Bowl time because it was the tickets just to fly, you know, to Super Bowl were outrageous, probably $9,000 a person to fly there, plus the tickets for the game, plus to stay someplace. You're talking $10,000 for a few days. People are spending money. People are spending money. Here in Detroit, what are we going to have pretty soon? We're going to have the draft pick for football. You're expecting millions of people here. They're coming in from all over the country. That costs money.
People go downtown on a weekend, and you can't even walk. You can't find a place to park.
No, you can't. You know,
a bottle of beer is $4 and $5 a bottle.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear the economy from the younger age group. Not at $4 and $5 a bottle for a bottle of beer, and I'm not talking top shelf beer either.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you have to feel. I guess these people are not feeling the effects of Bidenomics.
No, they have adjusted to buzzwords. Trump has driven these buzzwords into their heads.
Mm-hmm.
These same people are going to the bars, they're doing their dancing, they're playing the jukebox, and yet they're going to sit there with their beer, and they're going to cry in their beer about the economy as they keep buying another bottle of beer when they could have got it cheaper and drank it at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably. You're probably right. So, David, what do you want to go to next?
Okay. Hello, caller from Illinois. Welcome. You have anything to say? Don't be shy.
Yes, I want to say something. We've got all these bits and pieces of Biden did this, Biden did that, Trump did this, Trump did that.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to fast forward to the time when we have to go to the ballot box.
That's right.
We may not like either choice that's on the ballot, but there's one choice that is not printed on it, democracy, the choice of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Sounds a little bit cliche, but think carefully. We have prepared our sons and daughters, women, men, husbands, and wives for fighting a war. How many of them are we willing to sacrifice the lives for us? We are at a critical point in our choice of president and congressional elections. For us, the choice should be simpler. Do we wish to support our armed forces? Do we want to restore the draft so that those close to us are sent in harm's way? How many tears do we want as a nation to shed? Our unfathomable choice is to do what we want in an eternal revolution. That tears us apart, our nation, our freedom, our democracy, and everything we have worked so hard for. For me, the choice is simpler than politics. I don't like either of the choices for president, honestly, but I don't like a lot of Congress members. I do not want to send our sons and daughters, men, women, and wives to war. I don't want their blood on my hands. I do not want a generation of people to disappear. However, there is a choice. On the ballot, not printed in ink, is a choice for democracy. In fact, it is not really a choice at all. You can choose to change who is our president every 4 years. You can choose who we want for congressional representatives. We say no. Our democracy will not get trampled on. No, it will not be torn up. And no, it will not be ignored. No, we should not have to submit to this foolishness. Mm-hmm. We can say no to absolute protection under the law or implied. No one, regardless of position, is above the law. Our laws have to apply to everyone. Yes, our laws are not perfect. There continues to be injustices, but we can work on fixing them. We can vote to change the chaos between those who represent us. Currently, the political parties fighting and infighting are not working for the people who they swore to serve. The business of the people is not being done. With our votes, we can change that. We can say no, we will not have representatives that do not seek to find common ground or defy common sense. Our nation's representatives of the gold standard of a successful nation is badly tarnished. Do we really want to give one person the power to decide what changes we make? Think Russia. Think China. Think Iran. Think South Korea, who are waiting for our self-destruction. Our hard-fought work would be for naught. We can't fight amongst ourselves if it leads to such a cost. They would love to take the spoils of our internal war. Our borders are broken, but we can fix that. Our economy is not serving all, but we can fix that. Crime must not continue to become norm, but we can fix that. There are many other things that our nation needs attention to, but we can fix that. Mm-hmm. However, we cannot allow a person vowing to punish people to become our president. We cannot allow a person who seeks revenge to become our president. We cannot allow the one promising to create 4 more years of political infighting. We cannot allow a person to be president who talks more of what they claim will be persecution, retribution, weaponization of the government, that their political plan, and more. We want... Do we want more political infighting? Do we want what is solved? It is not our desire to have our country default under the debts. Yet there are some people who want to hold that we, the people, are hostages to their political agendas. They do this in spite of the damage and the hardship it will cause to us. We may not like the choices we have for president, but we can vote for democracy. We can vote to stop the nonsense in Washington. We can vote for Joe Biden. He may bridge the path to representatives that do work for the people. We can change by supporting congressional representatives who give him the power, the people's power, to bring our nation out of the dysfunction. Hang on. I lost my spot.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yeah,
okay.
The only way we can do that, Mark, is
I'd like to finish this up a little bit.
Okay.
The nation has a dysfunctional mess that we have today. We, the people, can use our vote to drive change without allowing someone whose political plan vows retribution, retaliation, lawsuits, and jailing political rivals. Do we want a government like Russia, China, Iran, or North Korea? Do we want a president who places family and relatives in power, in powerful positions? It's called nepotism. Do we want to cozy up to governments that have a strong history of violating human rights? We can say no with our vote. A vote for Joe Biden can hold the line. We can move that line with our votes in the future. But we all must vote. It must be a vote for democracy, the unprinted choice on the ballot. A vote for Joe Biden is a vote for democracy. And that's all I've got to say about that.
And this is Mark from Illinois, right?
Right.
Hi, Mark. This is Lori. I love that. And I agree with everything you just said. And, yes, we have to vote for Biden because we have to vote for democracy. That's what's on the ballot, just like you said. Democracy is on the ballot. We cannot say that Biden or Trump, one is a better candidate than the other. We just have to vote. You know, we have to, at this point, we don't have any other choice, in my opinion. Just vote for democracy, and that's a vote for Joe Biden. If you want to continue in a country that's basically a free country.
Yes, and if we don't like what Joe Biden's doing, we can vote him out in 4 years.
Yeah.
We just want to get away from the infighting that's going on.
Yeah, he won't be able to.
But you know, Mark, you know who started it? Republicans. Ever since Nixon got drummed out of office, he had to resign because of Watergate. The toxicity set in, you know, and Republicans has been seeking revenge ever since, you know. It's not about a fight over policy. It's not a fight about, you know, foreign policy or domestic policy. It's about personal vendettas. And that's what the Republican Party stands for from then till now. And as years go by, it's just got worse and worse. And with the evangelicals coming in, you know, it's just like turned real toxic.
They're crazy.
If a party cannot control themselves, how are they going to run the country?
They're not.
They have terrible, they have no plans to run the country. They have plans to drive it, push it down to the ground. They're going to destroy our country. They're going to destroy our government. That's the plan. You know, Mark, you should look up, it's on our website. I can send you the link. Project 2025, and it is the Heritage Foundation plan, and there's other conservative Christians that have outlined this plan for when and if Trump becomes president. And it is scary as can be. So I'll send you the link of our website, and then you can look it up in our blog section, and you can read it and share it if you like, because took the time to break it all down, and it's basically going into a dictatorship. That's what they're going to do, destroy our government. That's the plan.
Well, that's what Trump wants.
Yeah.
He wants the power like Putin. He wants the power like Kim Jong-un.
Well, that's his
own. We're not allowed that.
Pardon?
Not allowed that. We're not allowed that. You know, down there, I think 2-3 days ago, Trump was in, where was he? I don't remember which state. But he's promising not touch Social Security. You know, and nobody can believe him because he's a known liar. And for the past 4 or 5 years, Republicans have been trying to get rid of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. So when Trump makes a statement, oh, yes, I won't touch his Social Security and we'll protect it, he's a liar. Don't listen to him, you know? You know, he used to be pro-choice, but he wants to punish. He was pro-choice, but now he wants to punish women for having an abortion. Her body, her choice. What don't people on the right understand from that, you know? She could be raped by a family member. She could be raped by a stranger. She could, be, you know, like, she could die because of this pregnancy. You know, she's pregnant with the baby. It's her body, so it's her choice, you know? So men who make these laws in Congress, Republican men, who are, you know, leaning Christian or, you know, they should come out and they should stay in the lane.
Mm-hmm.
It's none of your business.
No. Nope. I would like to say something.
Go ahead.
I got one accident right here about I'll start with just when Trump said, you know, he's going to have this tax cut that's going to help everybody and really hurt the rich the most, which, of course, wasn't true. So there's a big lie right there. We all know that. Plus, I think he ran up the debt by $2 trillion. And when they talk about the debt, they don't go after him for the debt when that happens. They don't go after him, but they follow up when this issue that comes up over and over again, and I'm not aware of the Democrats doing this, but if they did, I'd want to know that. I have to do a little research. But when you go and you go into Congress and
One second. Somebody's clacking dishes. Could you please stop that, please? It's distracting.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was wondering.
And it's... And it's not that long of a thing to say. When I see, this was newer to me when I started seeing people holding up, paying for the things we already passed bills for. You know, you pass a bill in Congress that you're going to purchase this service, you're going to purchase this object, and then you pay for it. It goes without saying that you got to pay your damn bills. But what they're holding as hostage is when it comes time to pay the bill, they use that not to pay the bill, to grab you around the throat for something else. Now, this is an ongoing problem, saying not going around and finally paying the bill when you voted on the project or the items. And if they didn't like them when they were passed, well, that's how democracy works. You weren't in the majority, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those things were purchased. And when it comes time to pay them, that's where they hold up over and over again and refuse to pay it, where we're going to go into not paying our debts and create a catastrophe. Are anyone aware of the Democrats ever doing that? It just doesn't make sense. You've already voted on it. And the last thing isn't we're not increasing anything. You're just paying the damn bills that you passed already. And that's what they refuse to pay for and hold all this everybody hostage or kidnap them in terms of doing something that they want to get done using that. It's not right. It's wrong. And I don't have that much discussion about that.
Can
but
I,
you
say
were,
something
I don't see Democrats.
Minute?
Yeah.
Can I say something a minute?
Yeah.
Sure.
If the Republicans really wanted to address part of the debt, why are they so against raising taxes on the rich? Every time it comes to raising taxes on the rich, no,
yeah.
Let's take it out of Social Security. Let's take it out of the lower middle class. Pretty soon
yep.
There's not going to be a middle class.
Nope.
There is none.
Well, it was up to 90% under Eisenhower, and look where it is now. And that was because when you have to pay on that kind of profit, you basically put that money back into your economy, into your business, and you don't get taxed on it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you
well,
drop
that's
it
what
so
they
much,
tell us, that's not happening.
No. No, because if they put it down from 90% to sometimes nothing. And that's a big,
mm-hmm.
big drop.
Mm-hmm.
Enormous
mm-hmm.
drop.
In order to tank the economy, the Republicans have already stated they are not going to help, they will not vote to help rebuild the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yep. They talk about the economy. That bridge is economy.
Yes, it
is. There's all kinds of goods on that boat. That
mm-hmm.
bridge needs to be built. The trucks need to get the goods in their trucks, and they need to deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one lie after another with the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
It's one scheme after another. And that gentleman from Chicago is right. We have
mm-hmm.
to vote.
Yeah.
We have to vote for democracy, or we're going to lose it all. We're not only
yeah.
going to lose the middle class, we're going to lose it all.
No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No other way. Well, there's no other way to put it. I mean, we are really towing the line right here, right now. The line is being towed. People have to understand that we only have one choice. We either keep the country in a democracy, in a free country, or we are going to be basically a dictatorship. And that's
yeah.
not a joke. Said that they would implement, I think it was 80 days, David, that they said they would implement it in after he took office? I thought they even put
yes,
a
yes.
time on it.
Even
like
80 days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 80 days. And so they're
mm-hmm.
not joking around. And, you know, the Heritage Foundation and all these, you know, conservative, you know, radical rights, that's all they are as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, they want ultimate power. That's what they want. And they're going to use Trump
mm-hmm.
to get it. And Trump wants it because he wants to stay out of prison. So it's
mm-hmm.
a win for all of them. So we have to
yeah.
understand that. There's more involved than just Biden and Trump. It's our
mm-hmm.
country. It's our country.
Yeah, yeah.
It's our history. It's what,
mm-hmm.
like Mark said, what people have fought for to keep. Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Died for nothing?
Exactly. Well, listen, I have to cut some people off because, you know, like, the screen is so full with different callers. Like, I need to,
wow.
you know, bring some more people in. So thank you, Mark,
yep.
for calling from Illinois. We really appreciate, you know, you contributing and saying what you said.
Call in anytime. I'll send you the link.
All right.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
take care.
Yeah, Madeline, calling from Michigan. Hello, Madeline. What's cooking?
Hello, everyone. Hello.
Hi.
How are you? I'm good. And you may have already spoke about this, but I just turned, I went from one channel, I went down to MSNBC here, and apparently you may already know this, though, that the gag order has been extended on Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
didn't think about it.
Okay.
And they
did
you
it?
Know, I, no, it's, yeah, because he went after the judge's daughter, so So now it's all it's the personnel, it's all the employees. Yeah, I and I just that's all I had to add because I just like as I said, I just came in, so I don't want to repeat what you may have already spoke on. So my tidbit is just this piece I just saw. But please, I'd love to continue listening. What's your next topic? What's your next outline? What's on the outline? What's on the agenda?
Well, so much things, really, you know. That's why I'll have open mic and everything, because so much things going on and everything. I don't know, Madeline, if you've been following this, but did you hear about the P. Diddy incident where he's being sued left, right, and center?
Oh, my goodness, P. Diddy. I even heard Denzel Washington went to one of these parties. He walked in the door, saw what he saw, and walked right out the front door.
Within half an hour, yeah, that's what I heard, too.
Oh, yeah, you know, he wasn't there. What he saw was disgusting. So,
yeah.
You know what? Money begets money. Money begets greed. Greed begets trouble. It's just one. It's a domino. It's all it is. The untouchable attempt. The Epstein syndrome, ever you want to classify it, it's all because of money, again.
No, listen, he made Epstein and Weinstein look like angels. But go ahead, Lori, you're saying something.
No, I just was going to say that Robert, I guess I'm going to change the subject because, and I'm just sending you that. It just, he just said this a few minutes ago. He was on CNN. RFK.
Ooh, Robert Kennedy?
Yep, Junior.
Okay,
basically,
Junior.
Yep, he said, well, he's running for president. We know that. His numbers are, he's up 30% now or something like that. But he, in the interview, Kennedy argued that Biden has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, appearing to reference a case before the Supreme Court that could impact the level of contact between government officials and social media companies regarding content removal.
I don't believe him for a minute. Do you? Really?
No. Kidding? And he went on to say, I can make the argument that President Biden is the much, the much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, to censor his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in the Federal Court of Appeals, and now before that, Supreme Court, that shows that he started censoring, Kennedy also said. What is he talking about?
Well, first of all, you know what? He won an appeal. He won in court. What was it? Who was the judge? When did this happen? You know, you've got to hold their feet to the fire. I need facts. If you don't got a fact, see you goodbye.
He did not say. That's what he said.
Thank you. Okay, next. Let's check the box. You know, that's the next bullshit lie he wants to tell.
His sister was interviewed right after Rory Kennedy. And she basically, in a polite way, because that is her brother, you know, did say that, you know, the family is told, she didn't even know what to say when she heard that. I mean, can you imagine how she felt, you know, and she kind of was demure about it as well. And I don't blame her because that's her brother, but Biden is worse than Trump. Are you kidding? What are they talking about?
That's why
we'll
he's a lunatic.
Have to keep in mind that the same people who sponsoring or giving money to the Trump campaign is giving money to Robert Kennedy Jr. Millions of dollars, you know, and he's in double figures in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in the Midwest, and he's going to the Westwood states now, trying to like drum up support and everything. And because of his name, he gets recognition from the media and even right-wing media, you know. Oh my goodness, Kamala's is back, Kennedy. No, he's a kook, he's a whack job, you know. And his own family said that. And Trump almost said it in public. that if and when, mm-hmm. well, not when, if he wins the presidency, he's going to make RFK Jr. the CDC director. Now, mm-hmm. look at this. A cool conspiracy theorist like him, you know, mm-hmm. being, you know, the director of the CDC.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how much damage that can do?
Oh,
the Centers for Disease
yeah.
Control, where he doesn't believe in the science. He doesn't believe, you know, he doesn't believe in getting flu shots or any type of shots, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. RFK just going off his name is disgusting and disgraceful, really, you know. His father and uncle probably turning in the graves now how he sold out to the right wing and being a stooge for them. It's sickening.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Very sad.
It is. It really is.
And don't get me wrong. The Kennedys are not saints by any means. They have their fair share of little dark secrets way back when Daddy Joe was in charge.
Well, we know all that. Yeah.
We all know about that. But,
mm-hmm.
but to want to, Sir Trump, to want to put him in charge of the CDC, he's just telling people what they want to hear. At this point here, he will say anything to anybody about anything.
You're right.
Just
mm-hmm.
to get remember,
yeah.
delay.
That's oh,
all
yeah, they tried that today. Actually, they yeah. did try that today for the,
oh,
for
and they're
the,
going to.
The April 15th court date.
Yes, they did. You're right. I heard it.
And and the judge basically said, no, no way.
Nope.
Not happening. April 15th
mm-hmm.
on Saturday. Going to happen. So I was happy for that. Mm-hmm. There is a little bit of good news because the polling is up in 8 national surveys for President Biden. And
mm-hmm.
in 6 swing states, he is tying in Michigan and Pennsylvania. And in Wisconsin, President Biden is leading. We all know that he made over $25 million in that one-day fundraiser. And Trump didn't even bring that much in January, February, or March. So, you know, that's all good news. That's good news. So I kind of have to think that possibly people are starting to see, you know, and hear, well, some are, but we hope more, the damage that he can do to this country. And he's done to this country, how divided it is and how much hate there is out there. And, you know, and it all started when, you know who, in 16, it all started then. And it's not stopped. And then from the 2020 election, when he did lose by millions of votes, he hasn't shut up about it yet. President
A cult
Biden,
leader will not. That's why.
I know. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. He's pouring the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, absolutely. So the next thing, is that Trump did post that $175 million bond. Do you see the article there, Davis?
Yes, the New York civil fraud case. And
mm-hmm.
it was reduced from $464 million judgment, and it was due
yep.
March 25th, prevents a seizure of Trump assets while the case is under appeal. So, you know, Donald Trump has posted a $175 million bond in New York civil fraud case, preventing a seizure of his assets. A state's appeal court ruled last week that Trump and his co-defendants had 10 days to post an amount which was reduced from the $464 million that was originally due March 25th. But before last week's ruling, Trump was liable for $454 million, most of fraud judgment, but the amount he owed had been growing by more than $111,000 daily because of added interest. So Trump attorney Alina Haba said Monday that he would be vindicated on appeal. And this is what Haba, the moron, said. Quote, as promised, President Trump has posted bond. He looks forward to vindicating his rights on appeal and overturning this unjust verdict. So if Trump doesn't win on appeal, he will he will have to pay more than $450 million from judgment streaming from New York Attorney General Letitia James's fraud case against New York City, or New York, I should say. A judge found that Trump and top executives in the Trump organization had intentionally engaged in a scheme to improperly inflate his assets and financial statements that enabled him to claim favorable loans and insurance rates that he wasn't entitled to. Why the special treatment by Donald Trump for Donald Trump? You know, if it were anybody else, I'd never pay.
Yep. You're right. I was thinking the same thing. You know, he should have had to pay the $450 million bond. I'm sorry. And why they reduced it? That was that's an injustice to all the rest of us if we ever get in legal trouble, which we probably will never. But I'm just saying, It's not fair. It's not fair to other people. All they do is show that he's got, you know, that he's being treated like an elitist. And it's not right. It just isn't. He's not the president. He's a nobody, as far as I'm concerned. And he should have had to pay the $400 million. And too bad if he doesn't have it. Too bad. Then go to prison. That's the way I feel about it.
Not to ask for. You better say your prayers tonight.
What?
It's a lot to ask for.
I know. It is.
Mm-hmm.
All at once, I know. You are justified. It's. There, I'd like to have an answer to that question if someone could actually, logical, intelligent answer.
Yeah, I don't understand. You know, from 400, what was it, $450 million to $175 million? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry? Yeah, I mean, that's just not right. I'm sorry. If it was one of us, we'd be in prison. You know, if you don't have the $1,000 bail, sorry, you sit in prison. You know, it's just not right.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not.
The two-tier justice system, really.
Yeah, it is.
And idiot Trump is also appealing another verdict in New York after a jury awarded writer E. Jean Carroll $83 million in damages this past January, stemming from a defamation lawsuit. The federal judge last month approved Trump's $91.63 million bond in that case during his appeals process. So Trump is set to go to trial this month in the Manhattan District Attorney's hush money case against him. That's a Stormy Daniels trial. And it's going to be April 15th, like you said earlier in the show, Lori. So he also faces charges in three other criminal cases, including alleged willful retention of classified documents and accusations of election interference at state and federal levels. So Trump pled not guilty to all these charges. And his whole thing, as Madeline says, is delay. And what they're hoping is that, you know, it passed Election Day, he wins, so, you know, the cases against him, the federal cases, he can dismiss and forgive himself. But the state-level cases, he can't. So in a case like that, what happens? You know, he turns everything into a dictatorship. And God forbid Republicans win back the House and even win the Senate. You know, everything will be upside down. We'll have a constitutional crisis, you know?
Yeah.
And on the flip side of that, if and when he loses, you know, he threatens violence, like, you know, blood would shed. If anybody else said that, they would be in goddamn jail. Why is the justice system kissing this man's ass? Why?
I ask that question every day. I do. I ask it every day. Why? Why isn't he, you know, at least put some tape on his mouth. Do something. You know, big deal. They put another gag order on him. He's probably laughing, you know. It's ridiculous. And he knows, that they won't go the full mile and put him in prison. Sit there for a week. Really? I mean, it's just not right. It's not right.
No.
What do they think is going to happen? Are all the KKK people going to come out? What do they think is going to happen? You know, we have a National Guard. We have an army. Who cares? We have a National Guard. We have an army. We have armies. So what? You know, I mean, it's so, I don't know, outlandish. It's crazy to me.
So during the 2016 campaign, Trump called for a ban on all Muslim immigrants in the United States and targeted assassinations of terrorist family members and helped overturn Roe versus Wade. And, you know, he wanted to repeal the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare and give even more corporate tax cuts. So voters consider him the most, quote-unquote, moderate Republican candidate. Moderate. You call that moderate? You know, that's like Genghis Khan right-wing shit, you know?
Yeah.
So to the extent that perception had, you know, it had any basis in reality, it reflected Trump's genuine moderation on one highly salient issue. Unlike many of the GOP predecessors, Trump emphatically opposed any cuts to Medicare and Social Security. This likely made it a bit easier for ideologically conflicted old Rust Belt voters to pull the lever for Republicans. So Trump, as president, he never pursued large cuts in Medicare or Social Security benefits and implored his party to avoid them during the debt ceiling fight last year. And since the days of FDR, Democrats have profited from their reputation as one of the more stalwart guardians of entitlement benefits. I hate when I say entitlement benefits. People work in the system, put money in the system through taxes. This is not a goddamn entitlement benefit. So
yeah.
Trump's triangulation threatens to nullify that critical source of partisan advantage. President Joe Biden has therefore sought to portray Trump's avowed support for Social Security and Medicaid as fraudulent, which he is, because everybody know that he's a fucking liar. Sorry for cursing, but this man just get to me. And on Monday, the presumptive GOP nominee bolstered the president's case. I remember earlier saying that, you know, when he was in New Hampshire or Iowa, he said, oh, no, I'll protect your Social Security. So now in the CNBC interview recently, Trump said that he was open to cutting entitlement spending, and his campaign said that he wasn't. So which side? You said they love playing both sides of the mouth, you know? One minute, that's a one thing. They go to another state or next Nazi-type rally and say, that's say another thing. You know, which is it, Trump? You know?
Yep. Well, we know which it is. They're always trying to clean up his act after he opens his big mouth and says things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're always trying to do, clean up his act all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to work because we know the things that he says. He really, really wants to do. That's it.
We've
seen it.
I know he said something.
The TV. I'm sitting across the room from the TV. They just flashed a new hat for Trump. Jesus is my savior.
Did it catch on fire?
I don't know. I can't hear the sound. All I did was see the picture.
Breaking news. Oh, my God.
So can anybody translate?
And it's not a joke. I actually saw that.
Oh.
Go on. I'm sorry.
That is how, you know, he is calling out for help. Now he's calling out to Jesus, I guess. I don't know. Or, you know. But he knows he's in trouble. He does know he's in trouble. I hope everyone agrees with that. I think there's a part of him that does know he's in trouble, deep trouble, you know. And, I don't feel sorry for him at all. I don't.
Okay, so, Lori, I'm gonna read something that Trump said. And I don't know if you or any of the ladies or anybody on air can decipher or translate what Trump is saying, because it's just word salad, you know?
Okay.
He was on CNBC, and he said, so first of all, there's a lot you can do in terms of entitlements, in terms of cutting, in terms of also the theft and the bad management of entitlements. Tremendous bad management of entitlements. There's tremendous amounts of things and numbers of things you can do. So I don't necessarily agree with that statement. What the hell is he talking about when he said that, you know?
He doesn't, you know what, David, he doesn't know anything about, probably has no clue about Social Security benefits to begin with. Probably doesn't. He probably doesn't even know that you have to work and pay into the fund in order to get some money. So I don't know where he thinks the money comes from. It is, I believe that he doesn't understand. I mean,
yeah, he feels that it adds to the deficit, which it does.
Yes.
That's why that's one of the main reasons why he wants to cut it. I mean,
he doesn't understand how it works.
Oh,
he does.
God.
He sounds like a four-year-old who doesn't want to go to bed.
Huh?
I said sounds like a four-year-old that doesn't want to go to bed. He'll give you an argument. You look at the kid and you say, okay, time to go to bed.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so ridiculous. How do you interview something like that and keep a straight face? I mean, you can just laugh in their faces. I mean, what else can you do? I would just laugh in his face. I couldn't tolerate it. I know I couldn't.
So Joe Biden in response, and the Joe Biden team said that, you know, what Trump said was disingenuous. I guess I'm a translator for the crap Trump talk. Trump plainly stated that there's a lot that the government could do in terms of cutting entitlements and also in terms of combating theft and bad management of entitlements. So theft is basically we'll have all these ungodly wars, as your friend from Illinois was saying, where, you know, the quote-unquote borrow from Social Security and never pay back. And what precisely the former president is referring to when he alleges that Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare are rife with theft, bad management, and waste is unclear. You know, he's
coming
just, you know,
him.
Talking bird soup. He's casting aspersions with no evidence or no, you know, paper trail. And neither he nor his campaign has produced any actual evidence of such improprieties. So again, Trump, he's senile and, you know, he's losing his mind. And he's just talking out of his ass, basically. You know, nobody should take this man seriously.
The thing is, if Trump gets in office, it's not just going to be Trump. He is an elderly person who, okay, give him another 10 years, but all these other clowns have visions of grandeur on how they're going to be dictators. And the gentleman, again, from Chicago was awesome. That we have problems, yes. We have fixable problems, yes.
Yes.
But you can't fix a dictatorship. Unless we go to the polls and make sure we don't vote for one.
Yes. I don't know how much clearer we can make it. This is all we've been saying week after week, week after week, that we have to, at this point, I was talking to my sister, and she had voted for Trump back in 2016. She wasn't proud of it because she never told me, but in a funny way, I did find out in a text thread. But anyways, long story short, I was talking to her a couple of weeks ago, and she was in Florida, and I said to her, you know, we were talking about the country and how crazy everything is and this and that, and I said to her, Trump's going to go to prison probably. She's like, really? You think so? I don't pay attention to anything. I don't even watch the news anymore. I just can't. I said, do you understand that our democracy is at stake? She's like, what? What do you mean our democracy is at stake? It's so infuriating to me that I had to even have this conversation because I felt like I wanted to jump through the phone. I can't understand how you can just live in a bubble and not see what's happening around you. She has children. She has grandchildren that have to grow up in this country as well. Why don't you give a damn?
It doesn't affect her.
Huh?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It doesn't affect her, Lori.
To a young girl.
Yeah.
And I said to her, you know, you've got your rights that you have to protect. Well, they're protected in Michigan. I'm not going to worry about it. I said,
what about
the Supreme Court? The Supreme Court is going to say this is going to be the rule of the land. If Trump gets in, it's going to be the rule of the land.
Yeah.
No, this is Michigan. Gretchen Whitmer has protected us.
Did she really?
I don't know anymore, Lori. I'm in the same boat you are.
You know, and the thing is, do they realize that after this year, Gretchen Whitmer would not be our governor anymore? Do they realize that? And she can't be our governor again because, you know, already gone through
yeah,
two terms.
Yeah, the Supreme Court pulls the hammer down and says it's
yeah.
going to be the rule of the land. What are we going to do?
Make it nationwide.
Yeah, it'll be nationwide. Absolutely. And it doesn't matter. It does not matter if it's codified in your state or however they put it. It won't matter. It's overruled by the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
It's only states' rights when they want it to be states' rights for something special that one of their people is in.
You know, the thing is, Elaine, or in Madeline, and maybe David, maybe does this make any sense? And then I was trying to tell her. I said, well, I said, are you pro-choice? Yes. I said, then why don't you be a one-issue voter? You know what a one-issue voter is? No. I said, well, and she pretends like she doesn't know, but she does. But she wanted me to explain. So I did. And I said, a one-issue voter is you are against abortion, right? You are pro-choice, correct? And she said, yeah. I said, well, then you have to vote Democrat. I said, you're going to have to hold your nose because you're a Republican. You're going to have to vote with Democrat or else your grandchildren and your, you know, your family is going to live in a dictator. I don't know if I got through to her as a sister. I don't know if I got through to her at all, honestly and truly. It's frustrating, as can be.
Yeah, I
was just thinking in terms of the thing about Biden-Trump. It's frustrating to me. You know, there's just certain things that, first, I've never seen an iota of humanity in Donald Trump, his lying, you know, his whole thing. And then I can't say, outside of that, because you just threw everything in the trash that was really critically important, no integrity, no decency. But
yeah.
Lori responded, this fellow wrote, there was a post that showed Joe Biden standing up, the flag behind him, and it says, never had to plead the fifth, let alone 440 times. Well,
yeah.
this guy wrote, not like Biden is some paragon of virtue either. And that gets me because I made a point. First of all, nobody's perfect. But being imperfect doesn't mean that two people are equivalent, because that's what they kind of come to. And I said, I have to make a choice. And I'll go with the far less imperfect one if the degree of possible harm from the more imperfect one is higher. And that I said, not infrequently, the best person I think would do a better job isn't even running. And I can say that because I supported Bernie and I still think a whole lot of him. And then I said, this upcoming presidential election is the most significant in my lifetime. I've been around a long time. And what he wrote back is the thing that bothers me. He's an intelligent person. He said, sorry, I cannot in good conscience support any president that willingly enables a genocide. Hey, he doesn't have to tell me that. I'm a big one about that genocide, but I ain't going to vote for Trump or a third party. Even if the alternative is a potential Trump reelection, the things I would need him to do to gain my vote aren't going to happen. So unless Biden dies prior to general, which is possible, he says, and we get a real candidate, I'll probably end up voting for Jill Stein, the DNC, which I'll tell you that isn't imperfect either. I mean, that isn't perfect, and I have my issues with that. The DNC will just blame the voters again, but it's their own damn fault for rigging their primary elections to keep the base from having any real choice. I have a problem with that, but I'm still not going to vote for Trump or a third party. It's just the idea in my mind. I can address those other issues, but I can't find that going another way at this time. Yeah, I feel hogtied, but it's so critical. You got to work on it without letting the dictator in. You know, I have to admit, I have to tell you, I read that post, and I I was going to comment, but I ran out of time, so I didn't comment. And
yeah. I haven't either.
He did seem like an intelligent person. Does he realize what's going to happen to our country if he does not vote for Biden and hold his nose?
Well, that's what I wonder.
At least
hold his
nose.
I can argue what he's saying. I'm concerned about the genocide. I'm writing about it all the time. I'm putting Jews and other people that have a different opinion that we don't see in the media. I'm just putting it up there. That's all. Because they're there. And then to say he's not perfect, well, I don't like to hear that because none of us are perfect. What's your point?
Yeah.
Hitler wasn't perfect, and neither was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, but they ain't close to equal.
No.
So I was disappointed in that because what I see coming up, if possible, is going to go way beyond my problem with the DNC and my problem with genocide. I already called in and gave my thing, and but I'm obviously voting for Biden because that's all that's left considering the alternative, and he does not seem to see that.
That is why I don't understand. That's what I don't understand. How can people, maybe all of you can answer, how can people not see what's happening? How?
I can see it.
What was that?
What?
A lot of people can't see it. It's crazy. But I see it here, but I live in Flint, Michigan, so.
Is this Stephanie?
I mean, you can see what's going on. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I can see because even on Mott's wall, they're like into privatization all over the world. You can see a map on their site, and they're all over the place. But they're into this, they call it philanthropication through privatization initiative. It's on their wall. Mm-hmm. And what they do is, they're privatizing everything that once was publicly owned, and they call it capturing a portion of proceeds from of privatization sales for, you know, and they make it sound good like they're doing good for the people, but we're losing democracy because everything around here is a 501c3. They all have, they don't pay taxes. There's over 2,000 501c's here, nobody pays taxes. And they're doing what? And I mean, when you meet if anybody knows about the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, they're just a bunch like the Whirlpools and Amways that started that shit. That was their goal, to privatize, and it's really big. It's going on here. We don't have democracy in Flint at all. It's like an oligarchy. One black guy said it's like living on a plantation. I feel like I'm living in a kingdom because we don't have a voice. They give us 3 minutes to speak. They'll interrupt you at city council. They'll shut you down because a lot of them they get money, take bribes to be on the side of the man. I call them the man, the people, the mobs in every color. The Mott's are funding people to be 501c3s that should be regular businesses.
Do you think that the Bethany, do you think the Mott's family is trying to take over Flint in general?
Yeah, they are. They own this town.
They're
funding people to be 501c's. I researched it. I know what I'm talking about because I've done a lot of research, and they make millions off the people. They make millions. They all live on Lake Fenton. This one lady, she was a teacher at Baker. She was a drug addict. She made a 501c for drug addicts. Now she's living on Lake Fenton. Okay, so it's making big money for these people to be 501c's. And they got this company.
Are they 501c3s?
Yeah, 501c3.
Yeah, okay.
That's how they're getting around this stuff. They got, okay, so like the one 501c is called Uptown Development. They took our blight money and tore down buildings that weren't even condemned, Jewish Federation building, old house that was like used for a really pretty house for funerals, and a bunch of other stuff that wasn't condemned.
They took the people's blight money that comes from the government toward down all the buildings,
mm-hmm.
and they're built for profit housing. Mm-hmm. Well, I was out deep one night, and they were all sitting around there. They had their computer up showing the apartments they were building, and they were bragging how much they could make, $500 a unit for renting them out to people, like on welfare, mm-hmm. if they're subsidized. It's a scam. They're taking the people's tax money. And so we just got a huge tax. People living around abandoned houses and empty schools. My one friend got a huge tax increase. So did my friend. He lives around a bunch of abandoned homes and two empty schools. So what they did is this company came here, Ashley Capital. It's one of the largest privately owned held real estate companies, and they got mm-hmm. Buick City, which is mm-hmm. lots of land, and they're building stuff for people like, I don't know, to use the buildings for, they were talking about they're going to use them like a place how people order stuff online to store stuff or something, which I don't order online, so I don't know anything.
This
Ashley Capital created a PAC. So mm-hmm. they're giving money to all, like a lot of city council people, the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave mm-hmm. them all our ARPA funds. They gave them the hugest portion of our ARPA funds. They gave them, I think, an 80% tax break. They only gave GM 50%. And they increased our taxes to pay for this privately owned company. And mm-hmm. so a lot of people are moving because of that reason. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if anybody knows anything about this gentrification stuff, look at Atlanta. It's now the most expensive city in the country to live in mm-hmm. by U.S. government. And mm-hmm. a lot of black people had to leave that area because of these mm-hmm. kind of tactics. So, I mean, yeah, I'm just watching it all go down. You go to I was at city council one night, and this nice older black lady, well spoken, got up to speak. They kept interrupting her, and then mm-hmm. after 3 minutes was up, she talked. I had my watch on. She spoke 15 seconds over, and they called the cops on her.
Oh,
yeah,
you're right.
They called the cops on me at a meeting, and all I said was, please don't put in my backyard what you would want in your own. They called the police.
Listen, I don't mean to cut you short and everything, but we'll have to wrap up now and everything. We'll thank everybody for calling in tonight. We really appreciate the participation.
Yeah.
Elaine in Michigan.
Like we have democracy. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, everybody. Yes, man. So we'll be back again Sunday. Thank you, Madeline, and thank you, the caller from Mike from
Louisiana.
You're
welcome,
Louisiana.
David. You're welcome.
Yes,
Mary.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good night, everyone.
Thursday coming up. Before we
leave,
Thursday coming up.
Yeah,
let's talk about Thursday.
Yeah.
And Doris.
Yeah, sure.
And Doris as well. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Thursday coming up, we'll have a person who goes to Michigan State University, and he is
a Gen Z.
He's an undergraduate of Michigan
mm-hmm.
State University. And,
mm-hmm.
What's his name again, Lori?
Oh, I have to look.
Yeah, this is what happened when, time go by fast and everything. Okay,
yeah.
So Thursday, the link is unknown. So LGBTQ Michigan State leader, Alex Guo. Mm-hmm. I don't know if
that's
I pronounced my last name correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'll be on the show to talk about LGBTQ issues and also
mm-hmm.
about how far, the LGBTQ rights have come in America and, how, his organization is trying to teach tolerance and diversity. So I hope
mm-hmm.
you can join us for that, because it's supposed to be a good, interesting conversation. And he's going to teach us about the pronouns, he, she, or he, they. He,
mm-hmm.
wait, hold on, he, him, she, her, they, them. Well, yeah, I don't know. It's saying I botched it right there. Yeah,
yeah,
so I have no idea. You know, so.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, I'm excited to have him on because he's also a Democrat. I do want to hear,
mm-hmm.
and he is there. He works also in a camp, not in a campaign, but he's helping the Biden campaign in his own
mm-hmm.
way. Group of people, he's with a group. So we're interested in hearing his perspective
mm-hmm.
on different things. And I think it'll be an interesting show, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
It'll be a good
and
show.
Please,
so
if you're a right wing hater,
if you're
a right wing hater, don't call in and start name calling and what have you. Listen, we cut off immediately, and we're not going to tolerate that slackness, you know.
No, absolutely not.
If you don't believe in diversity, if you're easily triggered
yep.
by gay people and feel threatened, don't call. Don't even listen. You
yeah.
get what I'm saying? If you're going to listen,
yeah.
you're not going to learn anything because you're so homophobic and transphobic and hateful. So just don't call into our show that day, Thursday coming up, because,
yep.
you know, we want this to be a peaceful show, an educational and
yep.
enlightening show. So don't come to hate mm-hmm. and vitriol and bullshit. It's not going to be tolerated. Okay,
no,
everyone, thank you for joining us. This has been Kitchen Politics
mm-hmm.
1-2-3 for Monday, April Fool's Day, April 1st, 2024. I had such mm-hmm. a rotten day today, let me tell you. But I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. This is Lori Ticca. Good night from Michigan. Everyone be well, be safe, and we'll see you on Thursday.
Thursday.
Bye.
Yes, so we'll leave you alone with Friends of Distinction, Grazing in the Grass. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
When you are through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid.